Chantal, it's been quite a few weeks because I've just got back from Grenada and I was at your Gros Coco estate. Isn't it wonderful?
It is a fabulous place and I was so delighted that you actually got to go and see it, because for me, going to Grenada actually completely transformed my life personally and in terms of chocolate.
I was astonished at just how this model of chocolate out there is just... Well, it stands for everything the way chocolate should be.
Absolutely. I mean, it's that deep connection with the farmers and adding every bit of value back on where the cocoa is grown. And it's almost unique. It's certainly the first place where they're actually producing really amazing gourmet dark chocolate in situ.
Right now, we're standing in your new shop, and it is so exciting because this is the last ever pop-up exhibition, and I've been looking at the walls out there and seeing some glorious photographs of you and the team and everyone here who set up. How many years has it been since you set up?
30 years, exactly.
Today?
Well, in fact, it was on Monday, and we had a little party, and it's been amazing, but because of the terrible weather, some of the family weren't able to be here, and this is a family business, 100% family, and everyone in it has helped me with the business, particularly my mother, Sybil, who actually put the deeds of her house up so that I could set up my business in the first place.
I have to say, I've only met your mum for a few minutes now, but instantly she walked in, she's just got the most remarkable presence with her eyes, her face. She's very beautiful.
She's wonderful, and she's, you know, she's getting on a little bit now, but she's on great form, and we're celebrating her good health and all her active contributions to everyone.
It's good to have a mum like that, I reckon. I think women who have good mothers go on to do great things.
Well, it's true. She's been a fantastic role model. And interestingly, her mother and her grandmother had shops. So although we say we don't have a history of retail in the family, and we do really. So.
No, I can see that there's...
That's one of the pictures I left out I should have had there. Her... as a girl with her mother standing outside the shop, which was called Anne Pilling, and it was a fashion shop in the 30s or 40s.
So 30 years, Chantal. I've known you for probably about 7 of those, so I haven't been here for the whole time. But I need to ask you, what are your highlights that you remember? What are the things that really stand out?
Oh, that's really difficult. Grenada, well, I've mentioned that already. I think the creative salvage period, which was all the amazing furniture which we've got upstairs. I think pushing the boundaries with the artisan bar designs. There's so many things, but just being able to work with something I really love and with amazing people, and the people that I've met along the way have been very, very special, and that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been doing this.
Now, I'm thinking about 30 years ago right now, and I remember that really 30 years ago chocolate was just candy on the shelf, and it was something that was, there was no complexity for it. In fact, the most dark chocolate there was, I at age 10 really couldn't eat. So you came in at a time and really you've paved the way for what's now a chocolate movement.
That's really true. And I remember as a child, my parents used to say, oh, dark chocolate, that's what you want to have. And I would taste it and think, this is bitter. And at the same time, it's sweet. And when we look back, and Bourneville had 22% cocoa solids, burnt chocolate and sugar. It's, you know, it's something that some people may enjoy eating, but it is not chocolate for sure.
I think one of the most interesting things that I've seen with you is that you take great pride in everything you do, but your ethical stance on chocolate is really the thing that I mean, the chocolate is amazing and you won some of the most incredible chocolate awards, but it's your ethical side that really thrills me.
Well, I think everyone who's working in this sort of industry has an absolute responsibility to do something where you actually connect back to the people who are growing the cocoa. And if we don't do that, we won't have any cocoa in the future. It's a very marginal crop. And I mean, it's particularly going to Grenada and working with the Grenada Chocolate Company, who are hugely inspirational to me, Mott and all of his team, I really understood the importance of actually doing something where you're connecting with those people and teaching everyone else about it at this end, on this side of the channel, or the Atlantic.
So really, you're changing the world one bite at a time.
That's very good, Vanessa.
One delicious bite at a time, might I say.
Well, that sounds a good idea to me.
I know I was there just a few weeks ago, and I know for a fact that the Tres Hombres is at this second. I watched the chocolate going on board, 50,000 bars of the Grenadian chocolate, and that's from your plantation as out there. And that's due to arrive when? Is it arriving in Plymouth?
It should be arriving in Plymouth in April. But mm-hmm. you can go onto the Tres Hombres SV site and you can look on the ship tracker and you can actually see every day it's updated the position. And I'm really ashamed to say I can't tell you exactly where it is at the moment.
I think you've had a busy week.
I guess it's probably getting towards the Azores by now. And then they will usually stop in the Azores, they'll provision, they'll do some work, maintenance work, and then they'll set off again. And I guess it usually takes about a month.
Well, I know Captain Arjen van der Veen and his crew, I think there are 17 crew on there at the moment, and I met the new ship's captain, and I'm wondering if there's going to still be 50,000 bars of chocolate on there when it gets into port.
I know they have a chocolate ration every day, so there definitely won't be 50,000 bars.
So where to next? What's your next plans? Because it's the first 30 years. What's the next 30 years? Or at least the next few years?
Well, we're relocating here. We're going to be doing lots of amazing collaborations with the fromagerie, the ginger pig, and our lovely wine people around the corner. We will be looking at redesigning a few of the lines. I hope to be slimming down our range somewhat because it's enormous, and consolidating the business, really.
There's a choice, isn't there? Slimming down the lines, they're all so delicious.
Well, I think it's, you know, as you get bigger and bigger, you, in a way, you have to have some deep spring cleans because otherwise you're carrying too much baggage with you.
And then the last thing I've got to say is your book. Oh, I just, obviously, it's the best chocolate book in the world for me. I think it's absolutely lovely, and I've been cooking from it. What's your favourite recipe from your book?
Do you know, someone asked me that the other day, and I honestly can't say that. There are so many things in there which I really love. So it depends on my mood, but I think the goat's cheese ganache is wonderful. It's not at all savoury. It's a bit more like a chocolate cheesecake. Then the chocolate balsamic is fantastic. The tapenade, the combination of cheese and chocolate.
That sounds absolutely delicious. Chantel,
I need to sign a book.
I'm just going, your brother's just walked in getting you to sign a book.
Yes.
So,
who's that for?
Japanese girl waiting patiently upstairs.
Have we got her name? I've just wanted to sign it. I'll sign it and I'll come up. And so if she wants me to write something in it with her mm-hmm. name, I'll be up in 1 minute. Thank you, Robin.
We've grabbed, 10 minutes to chat with you. Listen, Chantal, I'm just going to say you're a complete inspiration to me. You're one of the women that I look at, and I just, I love everything you do. And I'm very privileged to be here. Thank you very much. And here's to the next 30 years.
Thank you, Vanessa. Well done. So sweet. That's very, very kind.
It's really something amazing. Right, we should go and eat some chocolates then.
Well, you know, have you tried this one? This is for very, very special people.
I will try this. Hang on, I'm still recording. Oh my goodness, they're little cocoa beans.
This is Barry's latest. Taste it and tell me what you think.
Well, they look like cocoa pods.
They are little cocoa pods.
And they're sprinkled.
And it's got quite a soft filling, so be a little bit careful when you eat it. It's got a green and gold glittery splashes on it.
They are absolutely beautiful.
So you can hear the crunch, and then the soft inside will be spilling into your mouth. as you eat it. I'll describe so Vanessa's beautiful. Face. It's amazing. She's gone into ecstasy. She's speechless.
Because it's that sweet with the sharp.
Mm.
It's got
which
that,
is, for me, what is a very special chocolate.
That has got to be probably the most intense chocolate experience I've ever had.
Everyone who eats that has a similar reaction, and it's Barry's latest creation. Can you taste what it is?
I mean, my instant reaction was probably lime. Well, it's not. I'm not sure. Is it lime?
It's passion fruit.
Passion fruit. It's got that.
And there
acidity.
Is something else there, which is very, very subtle, and it's a really hard one to crack.
I can't identify it. There's a top note in there.
It's rosemary.
It's rosemary. Of course, it's rosemary. That's what I can taste. It's the rosemary. I was thinking lavender.
Mm.
But it's rosemary, of course. Just sorry to ask, but when and where can we get those?
They will be in the shop in about... James, when are those going to be in the shop? Towards the May.
They're going to be there now, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go and buy some. Thank you ever so much for spending the time chatting with me.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. As it takes.